Right now, it's time for the Media Beat with David Tarachuk. David joins us on a Friday morning. You can find David at his own website, which is themediabeat.us. He's also a PBS television correspondent who reports on ethics and belief. And ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in David Tarachuk. David, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Reporting in from the media capital of the world, as the media, of course, goes crazy. Gets very, very agitated as we go through these agitating times.
You know, I was watching this morning. I got up, and it was one of those rare times in my life where timing was perfect. First thing I do is put my big. I have a TV in my bedroom, and I put it on for light. And I hate to admit this, but I will admit it right now. I have it tuned to CNN. Okay, it's the least offensive thing I can watch in the morning.
The least offensive, right? Of course. Yeah, we have to hold our noses when we turn to our news sources a lot of the time. That's so true.
But as I put my feet over the corner of the bed and took my first medicine pill of the day, Chris Cuomo comes on and says that they had the update where Georgia finally flipped blue and Joe Biden is now leading with about 12,000 votes to go, and most of those, all of those are mostly Democratic mail-in votes. It's
not been called yet in that classic journalism phrase about elections, but yes, all the indications are that it's right that Georgia should be on our mind. The trend is building in Biden's favor. There's no doubt about that.
Now, here's
at the heart of a generally very confusing and as I say, very agitated and contentious progress towards a final result for this presidential election. But we shouldn't get so concerned that it's taking what now 4 days. If you remember the year 2000, we were without a result, a clear result, for 37 days then. So an awful lot of hot and bother at the moment that is not really justified if people would just stop, take a breath, and think a bit.
That's the whole thing. And one thing this election has showed, and some states posted the early voting and the mail-in ballots first. Most waited until they posted all the live and current votes, and then they started putting up the other votes, which came in via mail. But one thing voting by mail and early voting across this country did, one thing that the COVID-19 pandemic did, is show a way to get Americans to show up at the polls and vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And the biggest vote, the biggest turnout of a presidential election for a century. That's quite a remarkable thing. And of course, it's testimony to how engaged with our national politics people have become for all sorts of bad reasons as well as good ones. But nonetheless, the result is the outcome that more people exercise their civic duty is, I think, a positive, a net positive in the end.
Yeah, well, I think it definitely is. And also it takes a little onus off the American people who considered a 50% turnout for an election of voters to be good. And I think what this shows is that if you give the American voters time, and where they don't have to stand in a line for 10 hours or one day, even though it still needs work, if you give them a way to vote, more people will vote. And by having the way it was set up this year, it gave minorities, which are normally on the short end of the stick, it gave them a way, another outlet to vote, and it gave a person like me or other people a way to vote where boy, did it show up different. I mean,
I was a very contented mail-in voter, but that I have been for many years. And we mustn't forget, by the way, in the midst of all the presidential complaints of the moment, the self-pitying whining that comes out of the Oval Office right now, is that the president himself is a mail-in voter. While I think you're right about making voting easier in a way has helped to rocket those turnout figures to the historically high rates they are. It's also true what you say about people being gingered up to take part, to take an active role in the decision-making of this country. And in my city, in New York City, the early voting, which was made available to us, was not exactly easy. People lined up to vote for hours to do that. So the push, the incentive, the real sort of stirring of feeling that it's important that we should vote overcame difficulties, practical difficulties that were still, because New York is what it is in many ways, and elections are not exactly well organized. The electoral, the Board of Elections in our state is something of a throwback to a bygone era, and not really up to date in many ways. But despite the sloppy way that we can organize voting sometimes, we got lots and lots of people devoting a lot of time to making the effort to vote. And I think that's extremely creditable to the American people, including New Yorkers. And I don't often say that.
What's interesting in my viewpoint about this is that I think what it will do is in the future for presidential elections, if they really iron out a way to set this up so all the states report the votes the same way, the networks will no longer have to put on a grandiose show on one night. They can plan like a two or three nights, a special series of a couple hours a night, to have programming reporting on the progress of the vote count, which would be much better for the public, because the bad thing that happened is exactly what I thought would happen. COVID-19, the past 3 days, 100,000, 105,000, 110,000 infected. We haven't heard of any other news basically in this country except for the election. And I think by now really baking this pie and finishing it up and setting up all these things so every state follows the same way of voting and then reporting the votes, I think it will turn out to be a big public service, and we won't have to have a three-day period where we're basically excluded from any other news.
Yeah, the idea that the most important critical political decision of our nation every 4 years is turned into a kind of media circus for one night and then two or three days afterwards is sort of so much in our blood. It seems like it's almost in the nation's DNA, but it could change. And I think you're right. To make it less of a circus and more of a clear process is a challenge to the media. And I think when we come to the midterm elections coming up in 2 years' time and the next general election in 4 years' time, I hope that the suggestions you're making now are recalled by everyone then, because it would be a much better way of covering the whole process. Less of a circus, more of a process. That's what I'd like to see. And you never know. It might go that way. There are lots of lessons, I think, to be learned out of this experience of the moment, agitating though it is. And not least of it, of course, is how we, how we coordinate elections in a federal system. Much of the confusion, much of the opportunity for dark suggestions and and ridiculous accusations to be made is that there is no commonality between, there is very little commonality between individual states and their methods of handling the vote both before and after the actual election day. And having some degree of consistency would certainly take some of the high drama out of this the counting period. But of course, what we mustn't forget is even as the hysterical and baseless accusations are coming out of the White House now. The president even saying that sort of that votes are suddenly in some way discovered, and that he may have been leading the election, leading certain states and moving towards victory, and then suddenly votes appear that have to be counted that pull the total in the opposite direction, and a surge towards Biden, which he is describing as very suspicious. We must remember it was this president himself who told his own Republican supporters not to use the mail-in voting system, and he's only brought this upon himself that when the votes that are only allowed to be counted because legislatures in Trump-supporting states decreed it that way, we get a late surge of Democratic votes being brought out into the open as the week progresses. Not only are the cries baseless, but they're cries of malfeasance when it's not malfeasance, but in fact the direct result of a policy that Trump and his supporters pushed.
It's so interesting. You know, one of the saddest things I've ever seen was the press conference yesterday when the president came out to speak, and the saddest comment that he made, and he really did appear bewildered when he said everything was going so great, we were up by big numbers, and then it all stopped, and the illegal votes started coming in, and you could see the confusion and the genuine hurt and anger all rolled up into one. It was really one of the most upsetting to watch, because it was painful to watch.
Sure. it's always hard to see someone confronting their own creation out of self-centeredness and a massive disregard for the truth and for the system which has served us. And it was I'm not going to dignify it by calling it a Greek tragedy or anything, but it was certainly had the resonances of here is a man hoisted by his own petard, in that old Shakespearean phrase, it's sad to see one confronting some horrible self-inflicted injury. And of course the performance of the actions taken in the face of this by the major networks was instructive. They cut away from it. They didn't want to stick with this issue, this issuance of nothing but baseless lies from the chief executive of our government. Not a thing we want to see. And of course they took upon themselves the proper journalistic job of saying what was wrong with what was coming out of the White House and why they needed to do a corrective.
You know, I can understand. I ran for the school board. I was a critic at the school board, and so people said, well, you know, instead of running your mouth, why don't you run? And so I ran, and I ran in a town which is heavily Democratic. I was an unaffiliated voter at the time, and so I petitioned to become a candidate, and I became a candidate. I knocked on almost 600 doors in Salisbury. My legs were basically ruined. I spent about $1,500 of my own money, and in a town where it was never ever close when you ran for the Board of Education, I lost by 120 votes, which was amazing. No one had, it was always like 900 to 100 or 700 to 200. But when I found out that I lost, when I was there that night and they opened up the machines and they gave the vote, I wasn't sad and I wasn't angry. I was glad that I did it. I was glad that I added some different commentary into the running for the school board. Did I really want to win? Yes. But did the sun come up the next morning? Absolutely. And so that's why I had some empathy when I was watching a president of the United States, sort of the strongest position in the world, not knowing how to handle what obviously is coming his way. And it was just, to me, for the first time in my life ever, I felt a little compassion for the guy. But then again, I felt so embarrassed.
It is, of course, fundamental to democracy that, yes, we run to win, but we also run with the knowledge that we could lose.
Yeah.
It's like in when having the most simple form of human interchange, a discussion, an argument even, the fundamental principle that we work upon as ordinary, decent human beings is that, of course, we want to be right and we want to be recognized that we're right, but it's fundamental to how we behave with each other to acknowledge that sometimes we might our view might not be the prevailing one, and that other people have a point of view as well, and they're perfectly entitled to it. And in a democracy, numbers count, and if there are more people who think differently from me, in general, their view is the one that prevails, and rightly so. And that's something that apparently this president is not imbued with, and it's showing. And the other indicator of what's going on, I think, is not just the president's own individual personal incapacity for dealing with it. It's the people around him. I think we're beginning to. Well, it's pretty obvious that we are beginning to see the evacuation of a sinking ship. And I'm not going to call people rats or anything like that, but I mean, you see a certain phenomenon which is common to all coming failures, that people step away. And even Chris Christie, and here's the former governor of New Jersey, here's an indicator in public, in a television broadcast, Chris Christie is distancing himself from Trump. He's actually saying that if the president has accusations to make about the count, then we haven't seen any evidence to back up those accusations. And he reminds people, of course, as he often does, that he's a former prosecutor, and we need to see any evidence of malfeasance, if there is any evidence that the president can produce. And he used an interesting phrase. He said that what's happening at the moment, and of course it's happening because the president is behind it, is what he called a process of inflammation without information. And that's an interesting turn of phrase. It's what our president seems to have offered us throughout the 4 years of his occupation of the White House. Inflammation without information.
And over the course of the next 12 hours today, when the results keep coming in from Pennsylvania, where Democrats were urged to vote either in advance or mail in their ballots. All the ballots that are coming in, doesn't matter whether it's a very conservative red area or it's from a blue area. Those ballots that are being mailed in are predominantly Democratic ballots, even from the red areas. And Joe Biden is getting anywhere from 65% to 80% of those votes. It's just a matter of time before Pennsylvania turns. And the only sad thing is that the talk that's been going on about stealing and late votes, because these ballots are opened up last, it gives the people that support the president, and I don't mind, they support the president, but it gives them something like somebody just posted something on the internet. Huh, it's interesting, another flip overnight. Well, a flip overnight because they were counting votes overnight, and these aren't new votes. These are votes that have been sitting around for days.
Right, and it's an indicator of the complete disrespect for the democratic process, that the only strategy, and I hesitate to use such a dignifying word for what's going on, but that the Trumpist slogan turns out to be "Stop the count." Nothing could be more undemocratic than that. Anti-democratic, I'd say. But yes, you're right. I mean, but it's also true that you know, it's not as if Biden needs Pennsylvania. I mean, it will obviously help him enormously if he does squeeze out a victory in Pennsylvania because of all these votes that are finally being counted, but could well have been cast very, very much earlier in the process. But there are other routes for there are other pathways for Biden to get the presidency. He just needs to win other states as well, which are also trending his way at the moment as the count goes on. It doesn't depend on Pennsylvania, but it's an indicator, of course. Pennsylvania, along with Wisconsin and Michigan, are states where the timetable for counting the mail-in votes was determined by Republican legislatures. So, as I say, once again, they brought it upon themselves.
And you look at it's funny. If you remember Ohio is one of those that actually posted all the mail-in things first. And when Joe Biden was leading Ohio by 150,000 votes, and then ended up losing Ohio by about 100,000 votes, there were no complaints because actually, the Democrats knew exactly what happened there. It's the same thing might happen in Arizona, where Biden's lead in Arizona has slowly gone down. I think Nevada is A-OK, and that will be when they finally do all the reporting. But it's you have to take what you're given, and I think we're going to learn a lot from this election. And I think from now on, I think you'll be able to see more Americans vote in the future, make it easier to vote. And I think all in all, this horrible time we're going through is okay. And if Joe Biden goes on to win those states and become the president-elect, it's going to be very interesting to see how Washington, the president, and Washington and the parties handle the time to the transfer of power, because it obviously is going to be a sticky situation.
Sure, and there's such a such a souring of the political atmosphere. It's been going on for a long time now, of course, but it's reached its nadir in the Trump years. That has to be addressed, and he's been running, Biden, that is, on a platform of being a nation's unifier. It will be really hard for him to carry that out in practice, but that's what his promise has been. And it'll be interesting to see if this is a set of politicians' promises that can be kept. I certainly hope so. Certainly the rhetoric that he's maintained and the whole tone of how he's dealing with the frenzy of the moment indicates that he's very, very aware of this. And I think I hope and I think on balance he has the capacity to manage that exercise of a transition to a different kind of politics and establishing again an entirely different tone in Washington and the country as a whole.
Is there anybody you would like to recognize this week?
I think we're all running around like headless chickens, but I think the profession as a whole is worth a quick toot on the bugle, because we've all been trying our best, I think. Not everyone's risen to the challenge as effectively as perhaps they should, but I think those of us who have to watch the media for a living can feel that the media's done a sterling job this week in some very, very challenging circumstances.
All right, here we go.
Let's hear it for the profession as a whole. Yes. It would be invidious to single out any individuals. There have been a lot of people who have been doing good work in very, very hard conditions this week.
And it's funny because some networks, Associated Press and Fox Network, countered everybody, or they called Arizona really early for Joe Biden. And I'll tell you what, Fox has just gotten a ton of pressure from Trump supporters and from
so
Donald Trump himself.
So interesting to see it happen. Yes, yeah. That Fox should be the network that goes first. with a prediction. I mean, a call. I mean, it had all the hallmarks of a reliable election night prediction. As we see now, the lead that Biden had there is narrowing, but yeah. it's still likely to stay. And in fact, you know, AP itself has been quite firm about this, that Arizona remains a Biden win. But yes, the lesson is, if you're dealing in facts and available, you know, in well-informed and expert interpretation of facts, then you're going to come up with things that people who live in a fantasy world are not prepared to accept. So Fox, indeed, find themselves at the end of a tongue lashing from Trump and his supporters, and again, it's a rich, rich irony.
David, we'll speak to you again next week, and we'll see what develops.
Absolutely.
Take care. David Tarachuk with the Media Beat here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web.